What do you know of my heart? What do you know of anything but your own suffering? Jane Austen's Eleanor asks her younger sister. For as long as she can remember, she has been the sensible one, the practical, the reliable one, the one her widowed mother has been leaning on. In contrast, her younger sister, Marianne, is impulsive, romantic, more interested in poetry, and quick to lose her head and heart to questionable young suitors. It is said that Jane Austen's famous sisters in Sense and Sensibility are very closely based on characteristics of the author herself, and that she would have liked to have been a little bit more like Marianne, carefree and open towards people and the world. So are Martha and Mary in our gospel reading a bit like that? Do they represent different sides of ourselves? Mary, the ideal believer, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, rather than engaging in the busyness of sensible housework like Martha is doing. Perhaps this is a commendation of contemplation and devotion over activism and distraction. Others have suggested that Mary is a liberated feminist who dares to invade a male domain, sitting at the feet of Jesus along with other men, over and above Martha's traditional female servitude. Although when we think of Luke, we're reminded that he extols servant leadership. So that doesn't quite make sense. And most have concluded that Jesus praises Mary over Martha as the one who has chosen the better part. But the consensus among commentators is that there is more here than a call to contemplative life, more than a warning of becoming too busy or too distracted with the cares of life, good as all of that is. And that we may have been too quick to pit the sisters against each other. First of all, it is remarkable that Martha is inviting Jesus to her home. In other words, a woman in charge of a household and with the authority to extend an invitation to Jesus. She then gets busy making preparations for her guest, a gesture absolutely in keeping with the importance of hospitality and welcome. A theme central to Luke's gospel message, as is obvious in the preceding story of the Good Samaritan. And many of you, on countless occasions, have been involved in organizing or helping with some of the amazing events we put on at St. Peter's regularly. So you know only too well all the work involved before, during, and after. And while slaving away, you've probably all noticed in the corner of your eye somebody, I shouldn't look at anybody, idly chatting away who really could be helping. It seems Martha is having one of those moments. Because clearly both Martha and Mary are followers of Jesus, which is what sitting at his feet really means. But Martha's issue is that what sitting at his feet looks like. Instead of taking her complaint, however, to Mary directly, she appeals to Jesus. Perhaps this is an ongoing argument among the sisters along familiar family fault lines. And Martha's pleas have been falling on deaf ears. She's looking for an authority figure to make Mary see sense. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. Ah, yes, the temptation to get a higher authority involved to get through to somebody else. I cannot count the times one of our sons tried to get me to intervene on his behalf against one of his brothers. Or if that didn't work, he would go and look for Dad. Maybe he would help. This may be amusing to see as parents, but even when we grow up, we are often the same. We struggle with conflict, and we try to defend ourselves and rally support for our side of the argument. Surely, Jesus, you can see that Martha has a point and that you ought to support her. Jesus, however, is notoriously bad at taking sides when pressed. He doesn't do it when challenged about paying taxes, and he doesn't do it when they bring an adulteress to him. Jesus does not give in to Martha's request, but instead he gently describes to her the real source of her frustration, not Mary's behavior, but Martha's own unnecessary standards and expectations, which leave her overwhelmed and resentful. And neither is Jesus taking Mary's side, although it looks like, and we've often been told so. The literal translation, I believe, simply says that Mary chose a good thing rather than a better thing. A good thing rather than a better one. And that what she has chosen will not be taken away from her. Both Mary and Martha are serving Jesus in their own ways and according to their gifts. Both women are empowered. And Martha rightly addresses Jesus as Lord, but her actions are governed in truth by her own agenda. Her gift of hospitality is more about herself than about her guest, the one she's meant to welcome. Jesus. It seems the kind of welcome we offer to others depends less on effort and more on motivation, and even more on how we focus on the one to be welcomed, God Himself. To finish, I want to tell you a story of an extraordinary welcome, which Katharina Gieselskog, who used to be here before me, sent to us this week. Now, we heard a lot this week about the first moon landing 50 years ago. But what I didn't know, and thank you to Katharina for this, was that Buzz Aldrin had brought with him the reserve sacrament, and that on landing on the moon, he made time to commune with God. He radioed back to Earth this: Houston, this is Eagle. This is the LM pilot speaking. I would like to request a few moments of silence. I would like to invite each person listening in, whoever or wherever he may be, to contemplate for a moment the events of the last few hours and to give thanks in his own individual way. And then there was radio silence. Unbeknown to the people on Earth, because he was not permitted to broadcast this, this is what happened next. Aldrin writes, "I opened the little plastic packages which contained the bread and the wine. I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, The wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. Then I read the scripture, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bring forth much fruit." I ate the tiny host and swallowed the wine. I gave thanks for the intelligence and spirit that had brought two young pilots to the sea of tranquility. It was interesting for me to think the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the very first food eaten there were the communion elements. I sense especially strongly my unity with our church back home and with the church everywhere. Now, we may not go to the moon, but we also can welcome Christ and through him extend that welcome to others, just as we are welcomed by him. Amen.